It is an up car tearing along over the desert. It cuts Bragg swerves through passes and over gulches.
Someone once said it was easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich guy to get into heaven.
There is a city, a marketplace, camels, Arabs. The up car shoots overhead and they duck.
Yeah, sure. Now we know that the Eye of the Needle is just another name for a gate in Jerusalem. And with the Swarp XE11's Mega Leptin Lift and Electrokinetic Gyrostasis, you can flip 90 degrees to the ground and back again in 1.2 seconds. So getting through the gate just won't be a problem anymore. The Swarp XE11. You can take it with you.
The real thing. One Saturday, a few days after we saw the riot from the news in our dreams, there was this promotion where if you talked about the great taste of Coca-Cola to your friends like 1,000 times, you got a free six-pack of it. So we decided to take them for some Meg ride by all getting together and being like, Coke, 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 for about 3 hours so we'd get a year's supply. It was a chance to rip off the corporations, which we all thought was a funny idea. I picked up Violet at her house and we drove to Marty's, where everyone was meeting. When we got there, Callista and Logan were getting out of Callista's car, and it was like, whoa, because they were wearing all torn up clothes. They were walking normal, but they looked like they'd been burned up and hit with stuff. I ran over to them. I was going, holy shit, are you okay? What happened? And Violet, too, she was going, hey, are you okay? They stood there and looked at us, then looked at each other like, oh my God, someone is poopy head. Yeah, said Loga. It's riot gear. It's retro. It's beat up to look like one of the big 20th century riots. It's been big since earlier this week. I was like, oh. Violet was like, sorry. No wrong, said Callista, flipping her hair. When we went inside, Marty and Quendi were also wearing riot gear. Everyone was going, hi, hey, hey, hi, unit, what's doing? Hey, said Loga to Quendi, pointing. Kent State Collection, right? Great skirt. Quendi bowed her legs out. It's not a skirt, it's culottes. Oh, cute, Callista said. That looks great on you. Quendi didn't say anything to Callista, because Callista had just put her arm around Link, and they were smelling each other's faces, and Quendi was jealous. Units, said Marty. In here. Fuck yeah, man. Into the living room. KKKK, right in here. We grabbed some seats. Okay, said Marty. Oh, fucking K. He nodded. Coca-Cola! We waited to start. We were, like, waiting. We all sat there for a minute, looking like we were smiling, but in reality not. Each of us looked at everyone else's face. Violet chatted me. This is like when I was 12 and we had the slumber party and agreed to show each other our boobs. I think we finally just gave up and watched America's Unlikeliest Allergy Attacks. So, said Marty, kind of sneaky, anyone up for the great taste of Coke? Loga said, I like its refreshing flavor. It's really good on a really hot day, said Link. There's nothing like an ice-cold Coke. I like regular Coke, said Quendi, but also the fantastic taste of Diet Coke. Link pinched Callista. She kind of sighed. Me too. Marty said, Coke, it's great taste. It's so good that I would beat up a guy if he had one and I really wanted it. Anyone? Said Link. You and Coke? Loga said, Coke, it's really good. Almost as good as Pepsi. Unet! Said Marty. Almost, you just lost us one. The fucking count just went down. I said quickly, I like Coke because of the energy. Link pinched Callista. She kind of sighed. Me too. Violet said, I love the great feeling of Coke's carbonation going down my throat. All the pain, like... She waved her hands in the air and looked at the ceiling, trying to think of something. She said, it's like sweet gravel. It's like a bunch of itsy-bitsy commuters running for the shuttle in my windpipe. Everyone was looking at her. I could feel them chatting each other, saying that was stupid. I sat nearer to her. I put my hand on her back. She was saying, sometimes I try to think back to the first time I ever had Coke. Because it must have hurt, but I can't remember. How could we ever have started to enjoy it? If something's an acquired taste, like, how do you start to acquire it? For that matter, who gave me Coke the first time? My father? I don't think so. Who would hand a kid a Coke and think, her first one, I'm so proud. How do we even start? There was a long, silent part. And then Marty said, yeah, that may have cost us a few. Hey, how about the great foaming capabilities of Coke? And then we were onto this whole thing about Coke fights and Coke floats and Coke promotions, and we went on and on and on. But Violet didn't say anything else. She just sat there silently. The guys kept going. I was laughing extra loud at everything because I didn't want people to notice that Violet was all clammy. So I was yelling all these carbonation things and trying to bring her back in, and the other guys were going spastic and throwing pillows at each other. We were like rum and Coke, stadium Coke, flat Coke, bottled Coke, Coke and nachos, Coke and hot dogs, hot Coke, cherry Coke, Coke on tap, comparative suckiness of, until finally there was another quiet part, and Link said, hey, Marty, unit, do you actually have any Coke? Marty was like, no, but fuck, aren't you getting like Meg thirsty with all this talking about the great taste of Coke? We looked at our feet for a minute. I moved my butt around on the, it's called an ottoman. Let's go out and get some, said Link. Yeah, let's go to the store. Which store? There's the Halt and Buy up in, like, near the Sports Giant. We were all standing up. Marty was, like, announcing, okay, we'll go out and get some of the great beverage of Coke with its refreshing flavor. But no one was really rattling that way now. Loga and Callista were whispering to each other, with Violet walking behind them. They saw she was near them, and they changed the subject. And oh my God, said Callista. Are those the Stonewall clogs? They're so brag. Yeah, said Loga. Oh my God, they look holy comfy. Are they comfy? They're pretty comfy. Loga picked up her foot and played with her flowery clog, and she was like, I got a size 7, but it feels more like a man's size 7. This top is the Watts Riot top. And Violet said, I can never keep any of the riots straight. Which one was the Watts Riot? Callista and Loga stopped and looked at her. I could see them flashing chat. Like a riot? Said Callista. I don't know, Violet. Like when people start breaking windows and beating each other up and I have to call in the cops? A riot? You know? Riot? Oh, I just thought you might know. Maybe I wondered what incited it. Violet was playing quickly with her own hands. Yeah? Said Callista. I was just asking, said Violet. Okay. I was just, yeah, incited. What? It's not like I was saying something mean or stupid. Nah, okay. Loga, are we going? They kept on walking. Loga said, put that in your metisabism. Callista said, what's a metisabism? Oh, sorry. I thought it was good to use stupid, long words that no one can understand. Callista laughed and looked backward, going, shh, she'll hear you and have an Alpaduffin Fleecher. In my head, I was like, oh, shit. Violet was chatting me. Did you hear that? I can't stand this anymore. I was like, what do you mean? They were just these Meg bitches. Will you take me home? I was like, just let it blow. Let it blow. No wrong. They hate me. No one hates you. Your friends hate me. They think I'm stupid. No one, fuck, no one thinks you're stupid. Yeah, I don't mean dumb stupid. We can't leave them now. It'd be like a total rash on their ass if we went. They just insulted me. Unit, they didn't. They thought what I said during the game was stupid. They think everything I say is weird and stupid. What is your problem? Take me home. Link was like, you coming with? Violet was like, take me home. Fuck. Why? Fuck. I want to leave. No, I said to Link. Violet, she has to go home. Unit, said Link. The party's just begun. We haven't even filled the bathtub with anything from the kitchen yet. I've really got to go, said Violet, smiling like she was shaking hands with members of the frickin' PTA. Everyone was going out to get in their up cars and go get stuff at the store. Callista was showing off her WTO Riot windbreaker. Violet and me said goodbye. We got in my up car. We took off. Then we started to fight. Fight and flight. I flew down the main tube in Marty's community. It was a gated community, and I waited to get out through the neighborhood's security sphincter. It pulled open, and I flew out into the drop tube, going like a million miles an hour so that Violet would jerk back in her seat. Then when I was going up, I had this idea that instead of like throwing her around by going too fast, I would be like quiet angry like my father got, and I'd just do everything exactly right, everything up to the centigram. So I flew really good when I got above the surface, going over the shanty towns that had been built up around the cooling steeples. I flew perfect. I could see the others coming out of the drop tube behind me, and they were heading off to the strip. We went for a while. It was raining. There was all the lights from the factory towers below us, those really hard lights, those bright white ones. They were shining through all the gases above the tubing and the tanks and ladders. There were cargo ships anchored in the sky. I flew around them politely, like a gentleman. We were too angry to speak out loud. Our jaws were like, grrr. So we started to chat. She was like,
what?
Nothing.
What nothing?
What nothing what? She was like,
what are you angry about?
I breathed loud and kind of angry.
Why are we going away?
Because they were making fun of me. I didn't say anything. I was like to myself, this is dumb. The whole thing was dumb. It was stupid and it pissed me off. Violet was pushing me like,
well?
So I, like a shithead, said,
well, maybe you shouldn't, you know, show off like that.
Show off?
Like what? Like the way you do sometimes, using weird words.
I don't use weird words.
Okay, saying weird shit.
Oh, screw you, she yelled out loud. What do you mean? You know what I mean. It's like, it's something I like about you, but you have to, like, you like it about me? What is it you like? I like, you know, you're so funny and beautiful and you, everyone's beautiful. Everyone's pretty as a pansy in a blister pack. That's not what you're talking about. You can be a little, you can... It's kind of scary for people sometimes. It feels, it sometimes feels like you're watching us instead of being us. Well, I'm not used to the things you're used to. I'm just telling you how it sometimes, it feels. Thanks for telling me how it feels. I'm just telling you. Thanks. We drove on. On Sky Offenders, they were having a live thing about drug smugglers getting caught on parasails. There was a lot of static from her chat breaking through. She was pushing it hard. I dropped my feed wall and let her chat me again.
You think I'm a bitch, don't you? This is stupid. This is dumb.
She stared out the window.
There's something else wrong, isn't there?
I asked her.
Isn't there?
Nothing. No answer. For a long time, nothing. Then I was like,
is there something else wrong?
She looked at me. I could tell she was trying not to cry. She said,
yes.
I was like,
what is it?
She whispered, talk to me in the air. I was like biting my lip. I hate these kind of conversations. I was feeling completely squeam. I went, okay, what's wrong? For a long time, we went through columns of smoke. They were coming up from below. They were like the rows of trees up the sides of Link's driveway. If we'd been happier, I would have done them slalom. They were as gray as, I don't know, they were just gray, okay? The rain hit them. She said, my feet is really malfunctioning.
Right now?
I can't feel it right now, but yes.
Go to a technician.
I have. I've gone to a bunch. I don't think you... Okay, my feet is really, really malfunctioning.
I don't understand. You told me this already.
Shut up. I've been going to technicians. The feed wear is starting to produce major errors.
She looked scared. She wasn't looking at me. I could feel how much she wasn't looking at me, but was looking other places.
I got my feed later than some kids, she said evenly. I got my feed really late.
You told me so.
But the problem is, if you get the feed after you're fully formed, it doesn't fit as snugly. I mean, the feed wear is more susceptible to malfunction.
Susceptible?
It can break down more easily.
What does this mean?
Nobody knows. The feed is tied into everything. Your body control, your emotions, your memory, everything. Sometimes feed errors are fatal. I don't know. I could lose... I don't know. They thought it would stabilize, but it didn't. It's getting worse. Meg worse. They told me yesterday it's deteriorating.
Like rusting?
I mean, not the hardware, but the software-wetware interface. They said they didn't... I'm not going to cry. I am not going to cry.
I didn't know what I should do. I guessed that I should put my arm around her. I went to move my arm that way. She didn't look very huggable. She was all slouched. She was saying, "They don't know. I could lose my ability to move. I could lose my ability to think. Anything. It's tied in everywhere. They said the limbic system, the motor cortex, the hippocampus, they listed all this stuff. If the feed fails too severely, it could interfere with the basic processes. My heart could just..." We were sitting there, going through the air. My hands felt really useless. I said, "This sucks. They can't just turn it off. They turned it off before." "No, they didn't. They disconnected us. They shut down most of the functions. The feed was still on. It's part of the brain." I looked over at her. She was looking right at me. We were going down the aisles of smoke through the sky. Somewhere over Nebraska, the drug parasailers were being shot out of the air. She said, "Just drop. Drop and then catch us." I was staring at the steering column, wondering what the hell she was talking about. She said, "I want to feel something. Let's feel vertigo together." That sounded okay to me. I dropped us. When we stopped, suddenly both of us had sweat. It was just mainly across our foreheads and fingertips. She smiled at me. We both felt meg-nauseous. "My fingertips," I said, "they're sweaty." She nodded. We flew for a bit. She chatted me like, "Let's go back now. I'm okay." "No, you don't want to go back," I said. "They were being jerky." "They weren't being jerky. I was being pretentious. You weren't."
"I'm fine now," I said. "We can't just go back. I'm like completely... I'm this thing. It's this whole Meg thing. I can't go back. Let's go to your house."
"My dad'll be there."
"Let's go to my house then."
"Okay."
With one hand, I changed the course. I held out the other hand. She took it. We flew over gray piles and gray piles and gray piles toward home. So much to do. When we got to my house, we went inside and I shut the garage door behind us. We went up the steps into the family room. We were going to watch something on the feed. We sat there. We weren't really interested in the feed. It was daytime shit anyway. Soap operas with all these people with big hair going on crying jags. And lots of puppets. Puppets telling you about every goddamn thing.
"I wish there was some place we could go," Violet said. "I want to... I don't know."
"What do you mean?"
"Just, there's a whole universe out there."
"Yeah.
I've never been underwater for a really long time."
"I've been down on a couple of vacations into the really deep part. It's pretty good. There's a lot of stuff to do."
"I'm just using that as an example," she said, stroking my face.
"You have to have reservations. Otherwise, if you go by yourself, you get the bends." She was stroking my face and was like,
"I probably don't have much time. There's just so much I want to do."
Which was a difficult thing for her to say, because when she was stroking my face, it looked like it might mean one thing, but on the other hand, it probably meant something else, and it would be embarrassing if it didn't mean what I thought it meant, and if I said something, and then if it turned out that by so much she wanted to do, she really meant riding trikes across the Sahara. That would suck. I said, "Do you mean..." I stopped. I tried. "That could be taken to mean that, you know, we..." My feed was like tongue-tied, wowed and gaga. "For a fistful of pickups tailored extra specially for this nightmarish scenario, try Crino Feed, available at rates as low as..." And she was like,
"I'm sorry if I embarrassed you at Marty's.
Would you stop?" After a minute, I said, "You kept quiet about this for a long time."
She nodded. "A few weeks, I've known."
"You could have told me."
"I could have," she said.
"You didn't need to be thinking about it all alone." She had her hands in her lap now. She said,
"I want to go out and see the world. There's so much. There's just so much."
"Yeah," I said. "Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, this sucks. Meg sucks." I didn't know what to say. We sat there side by side. We were sitting there and it seemed like nothing was right. We were done talking. I held on to her, and she held on to me. We held like that. We were staring at the wall. She blew out all her breath. It was a strange moment, like when you get sad after sex, and it feels like it's too late in the afternoon, even if it's morning or night, and you turn away from the other person, and they turn away from you, and you lie there, and when you turn back toward them, you can both see each other's moles. Usually this seems to be shadows from Venetian blinds across your legs. She said, you toss something up in the air and you expect it to come back down again, which made absolutely no sense to me. We sat and we looked at the fireplace. There were the fake logs and the fake iron parts. All the bricks were perfect. The walls were all a weird color of white. Then there was the sound of the front door banging open. Mom was home with smell factor. We were both like, whoa. We pulled apart and were sitting there. Smell factor ran into the family room and took off his sneakers one at a time and threw them at the wall. Then he fell down on the rug and phased out and started watching Top Quark. Mom was like yelling for him to go pick up his room. He just lay there. She was clapping and calling his name. He just kept up with Top Quark. He didn't have it shielded, so we were picking up the whole thing.
Aw, Top Quark, I'll never get the prize in the fair.
Listen up, Down Quark. Don't get so down. Remember, all your friends are right behind you.
Yeah, Down Quark.
Yeah, we'll sing a song for you. It's a happy, zappy song, full of chuckles and chortles.
Violet ate dinner with us. My father wasn't there, so it went better than the last time. She said some stuff that made my mother laugh. My mom was chatting me about how she was a great girl. We flew back late at night. I finally asked her,
do they know how long?
No. Earlier they were saying it could take years. Now they're not sure. They're saying it will be much faster.
It still could be years.
It's not going to be years. Could happen any time.
I dropped her off at her house. We didn't make any plans. There weren't any plans. I spent the rest of the night doing homework. It seemed like that was the only thing left to do.
From Bow Wow and Plucky on the Christian Cyber Kids Network.
Dad, I keep thinking she'll come back, but I know now that she's going to stay away.
Yeah, it's like it's been so long. I don't know what she would look like if she came back, how long her hair would be.
She was the best dog. If she came back, it would make everything right.
Billy, nothing will make everything right. That dog was a good dog, but she wasn't like a super dog with powers. And I think you'll see a little voice inside you that will tell you the same.
I still put the suet out by the mailbox. And I still sing her.
Seashore. We went to the sea because there wasn't time after school ink to go under it. She and I went to stand beside it. We watched it move around. It was dead but colorful. It was blue when the sun hit it one way and purple when the sun hit it another way, and sometimes yellow or green. We had on suits so we wouldn't smell it. We sat in the sand. I made an angel with my arms and legs. She piled sand on my stomach. The suits were orange, which was stupid. I hate it when a suit is a really ugly color so you look completely dumb. After she was done piling sand and I was done with my angel, we stared up at the sky. I was like,
I don't think you have to worry. Science is like they're always discovering things.
Yeah. Have you looked at the sea?
You've been reading more of that depressing shit. Everything's dead. Everything's dying.
Some up cars floated over in the clouds. Some cargo ships. Some transit needles heading off to Norway or Japan or something. I sat up. I was pissed off with things. I went,
you know the part that's a really ironic thing? The guy, the hacker? You almost agree with him. He completely fucked you over and you almost agree with him.
Yeah, she said. That's certainly the really ironic thing.
What? What are you being sarcastic about?
I'm screwed.
See, like that's so big negative.
What do you mean? What's positive? My body's completely falling apart. I mean, you saw it with my foot, but it's happening more often. One of my fingers or a part of my face will just freeze up. It's getting more frequent, like once every other day for 10 or 15 minutes, sometimes for a few hours.
Oh, shit. Don't tell me this. Oh, shit.
And I'm not getting all the images that are supposed to come through on the feed. I'm getting a lot of error messages.
Well, they can fix that.
I don't know. I don't know. I just don't know.
I kicked at the sand. I looked at her. She looked good through the mask, her big sunglasses brown and purple in the light. I was like,
You know, I... What? I really like you.
She hit me on the back of the head.
That'll do,
she said.
Crackdown Alley, only on Fox.
Have you given to her?
You could kiss my ass.
Have you given it to her?
What do you think I am?
Want me to tell you what I think?
Don't breathe in my face. Go breathe in someone else's face.
I'll breathe in whatever face I want to breathe in.
I didn't give it to her.
What do you think I am?
She doesn't have it.
You can kiss my ass.
Don't breathe in my face.
Have you given it to her?
Want me to tell you what I think? What do you think I...
Limbo and Prayer. On Monday, I went into School Inc. and I was sitting in the homeroom when I saw that Callista had her hair up in this new way, and on the back of her neck was this total insane macro lesion that I'd never even saw before. I guess I was looking at it kind of holy shit, because Quendi sat down next to me and chatted.
Impressed? Ain't even real.
Quendi still hated Callista, because Quendi wanted to be going out with Link herself. I asked her,
What do you mean? Callista got it done yesterday.
Quendi made this face.
Now that lesions are brag, now that they're the spit. It's huge. It's fucking huge. It's not even real. I mean, it's an incision, but it's artificial. It's not even really weeping. Those are beads of latex. Whoa, I'm surprised your head doesn't, you know, topple off like ba-dump. It's so stupid. God, I can't believe how stupid it is.
Link came in and was kissing Callista on the forehead with his hand behind her skull, and then he tickled her lesion.
Oh, unit.
I grabbed Quendi's wrist.
Oh, unit, this is like, whoa, total error message. Major system error. It's so stupid. I can't believe he's falling for that. It's so dumb. Whoa, I gotta tell Violet about this. She'll go crazy. Yeah. She's always looking for, like, evidence of the decline of civilization. Yeah.
I looked at Quendi.
What do you mean by that? Nothing. Just that Violet's always, like you said, she's always looking for stuff about the decline of civilization and everything's a mess, da-da-da. Is that a problem? I don't have a problem with it. I think she's nice. I'm gonna chat her about this. Yeah, dude, she'll think it's funny.
I found a hitch up to Violet.
You sitting down?
I said.
Callista got an artificial lesion. So much for my frosted flakes. Link is tickling her lesion. Let me just push the bowl toward the wall. You heard it here first. Link is... he's a great guy, but do you mind if I say he's not the quickest bunny in the centrifuge?
I laughed.
No, not our Link. Did I tell you I thought he was Youch the first time I saw him? Link? Our Link? He's butt ugly. Have you met him? That's why I thought he was Youch. You all were so beautiful. He was hideous. There was some... I don't know, some texture there. Are you kidding? Until he opens his mouth. Right now, he and Marty are skipping rope with some coaxial cable. Ah, he's tripping. He's falling into a desk.
I like talking to her like this, first thing in the morning. It had a kind of bedroom feel to it. It was kind of flirty, kind of drowsy. And she was like,
Can I ask you a question about Link?
Yeah.
The name? Link, as in missing?
No, I said.
So? I don't think you want to know. It won't help much with your worry, you know, about civilization ending and stuff.
Huh?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. It's a penis thing, isn't it? No. Yes, it is. It's some gross boy locker room sausage joke, isn't it? Sausage Link? Oh, you were so... Oh, no, it's not. Is so, is not. He's the product of this government experiment.
What?
His family's, like, really old and meg rich. So they got this, you know...
What?
He was cloned from the bloodstains found on Lucy Todd Lincoln's opera cloak.
There was a long silence. Then Violet was like,
Mary. Yeah, Mary then. Mary Todd Lincoln.
There was another silence. I sat there waiting. She was like,
So he's the genetic clone of Abraham Lincoln. Yeah. Abraham Lincoln. That's what I said. Tell me what he's doing now. The limbo with the coaxial cable?
I thought so.
Except he's bending forward instead of backward, so it isn't as hard. This is extremely grim. How about over there at your house? Let me recover. What's doing at Violet's place? Dad's off at work. Mom's just a mom-shaped hole in the front door. I'm eating cereal, putting on my stockings, and reading ancient Mayan spells. You know Mayan? They're not in Mayan. They're in Spanish. The feed's translating them into English. I'm reading a spell to preserve dying cultures. Written sometime before their empire fell, I guess. Spirit of the sky, spirit of the earth, grant us descendants for as long as the sun moves, for as long as there is dawn. Grant us green roads. Grant us many green paths. May the people be peaceful, very peaceful, and let them not fall. Let them not be wounded. Let there be no disgrace, no captivity. O thou shrouded glory, lightning lord, lord jaguar, mount of fire, womb of heaven, womb of earth, let our people always have days, always have dawns. Then it goes, O King One Leg, giver of green. King One Leg? Amen, brother. Link and Marty are doing a lasso with the coaxial cable. Yeah? Callista's combing her hair, and she keeps jolting each time she scrapes the edge of the lesion. Thank goodness for homeschooling. There's a party on Friday night. You want to come? Do they hate me? Oh, they don't hate you. Quendy just told me she thought you were nice. You were talking with her about me? Don't worry. I won't. They hate me, don't they? They think you're like Meg Cuddly. Okay. I want to live a little. Exactly. I'll come. Brag. Will you get me? Sure. What time is it right now? Do you have to go? Yeah, it's time for announcements. I make my own announcements into the garbage can so it echoes. Lonely. I tell myself to come to the office. Yeah. Then I pace in circles, waiting for me to show up. I wait and I wait, you know. I wait and I wait in the office, she said. But me never comes.
This month's 20 hot sex tips for girls. Hey, you want to leave your boy with his head spinning? Then check out what Lucia, our lady of love, has to say about these chicks and their sitch in the sack. Natalie from New Jersey messages us.
My guy says no nookie at parties, but I feel that in order to do our duty to the party, we gotta...
That's why I ask it. Consider, the United States has been instrumental in the overthrow of truly genocidal dictatorships. We dole out billions of dollars each year in foreign aid. We support failing economies. We give harbor to many who seek our shores. We are trying to do what is right. We are trying to do what is...
Flat Hope. On Friday, I went and picked up Violet at her house for the party. I hoped that the party would cheer her up. I was used to the route now, and I like seeing all the stuff I passed, the antennas and chutes and vents, and my feed told me their names as I looked at them. Charming Lawn Observation Tower, Riverdale Exhaust Hood, Institute for the Study of Psychoeconomy, Bridgeton Playland and Compulsion Center. And after a while, I knew them by sight, and with each one, I could feel like I was getting closer to Violet, which was like a present which I didn't know what was inside of. While we flew to the party, she told me about weird things she'd read on the feed while she was resisting it or whatever. She told me about the scales on butterflies and the way animals lived in ducks, sometimes whole herds. People would hear the stampeding through their walls. There were new kinds of fungus, she said, that were making jungles where the cables ran. There were slugs so big a toddler could ride them side saddle. The natural world is so adaptable, she said. So adaptable, you wonder what's natural. When we got there, people were drinking already, and it looked pretty fun. Someone was being a DJ and broadcasting tracks on the feed, so we tuned in, because otherwise you just hear the shuffling while people are moving around with no music on the floor. I have a pretty good auditory nerve hookup with my feed, so the sound is real spink, and it's good to move to. So we got some drinks and drank them and said hi to people. And then the feed was going. It was doing the song, I got some feet and those feet, they're gonna walk. Walk, feet, you walk. The 10 toes, I walk with the feet. That one. And so we danced to it. It's a kind of low hips dance with the draggy elbows. And we did it. It's good for that. It was all going pretty good until Quendy arrived. When she got there, it was like silence. Wind, ping, pin dropping. Because her whole skin was cut up with these artificial lesions. We were all just looking at her. They were all over her. She raised her arms. The cuts were like eyes. They got bigger and redder when she moved.
Do you like them? She said, laughing. I got it yesterday.
Said Marty, you're covered with cuts.
They're not cuts, she said, smiling like he was an idiot. First of all, it's the big spit, and second, for your info, it's called birching, and they're lenticels.
Marty and Link were chatting me and each other.
Unit. Whoa, Unit.
Violet had her face in her hands. People were starting to dance again. I could tell Callista and Logo were chatting up a storm. People were dancing and the feed was going, I walk these itty-bitty steps away from you, just itty-bitty steps, I walk away. Quendi went over to the table with the drinks and poured herself some vodka and tang. Some other girls were over talking to her. Violet was standing next to me, like,
I can't believe she did it.
I went,
it's all for Link. I guess she wanted to outdo Callista. Can you even think how much that cost? I don't know. Each one of those incisions has to be capped off in plastic. Yeah, it was probably pretty pricey. It's the end. It's the end of the civilization. We're going down. No, it's sure not too attractive. Lenticels. I just hope my kids don't live to see the last days. The things burning and people living in cellars. Violet. The only thing worse than the thought it may all come tumbling down is the thought that we may all go on like this forever.
I looked at her. She wasn't joking. Her face was full of lines.
Violet,
I said. I took her hands. I had an idea and I was like,
let me show you something.
She didn't say or chat anything. We went away from all the people up the stairs. The bedroom doors were closed. I took her up past the bedrooms to the attic. I pulled down the attic, like the pole and this ladder folded out. I went up and willed the light, but there wasn't any feed link to the light. The light was worked by a string. You pulled it sometimes, and the light went on. There was all kinds of old shit up there. She came up behind me. When we walked, our footsteps, they were clunky. The boards felt old.
We used to come up here, I said. We played sardines in the closet. You got to hide, and then everyone looks for you, and when they find you, they hide with you. This was this meg good place, because only Link's best friends, we were the only ones that knew about it. We would be up here, all together, and people who weren't his good friends, they'd be walking around downstairs, and we could hear them, and we'd be laughing our asses off. I used to, when I was hiding here, I kept thinking of when I was littler, you know, younger, before I was good friends with Link. I kept thinking of the time when you're all racing around and you pass people in the halls, like in cartoons, where people go in one door and come out another one. And you're like passing them all and looking in all the laundry places and shit. And it's a big game and people keep giggling and then you don't see them again. Then you're walking around alone. You know, there's this weird moment where you realize that you're alone and no one else has been walking for a while. You realize that the moment, the exact moment when you become alone, is already over. You've been that way for a while. So you're walking around this empty house, and all the towels are folded up, and the soap is still wet in the soap dish. That's the creepy thing.
She sat down on an old thing. I kept going. I was like,
you're walking, and everything's empty. But the weirdest thing is that it's not empty at all. The weirdest thing is that you know that you're more alone than anyone, but that more people are thinking about you than ever before. They're all just there, holding their breath, following your, like your every move through the house, listening to your footsteps and the doors opening and closing. So you're more alone, but more watched. It can just go on and on for hours. You walking around, walking on the carpeting, picking up stuff and looking at it, alone but thought about. Until Link gets tired of it and says the game is over. That's exactly it,
she chatted. I didn't know what she meant, but I nodded. She rubbed her eyes with her palms. I watched her. She stood up and brushed off the butt of her skirt. She looked around, lifting things up.
What is this junk? Old shit, I said. All this old shit.
I walked over to one wall.
There are some old pictures.
I lifted them away from the inside of the roof.
Paintings.
She came to my side.
Whoa.
We looked at them. Ships at sea. Old-time faces, painted without smiles or anything. Dressed in black, holding pieces of paper or big books. Link's dead relatives from long ago. They had old-time names. Ones from the past. Abram, Jubilee, Noah, Ezekiel, Hope. Jubilee was frowning. Ezekiel was covered with pockmarks. Hope was this fat old woman with a little dog. Hope was looking off to the side, as if someone she missed was calling her name. Our duty to the party. On the way down, we passed the bedrooms again. The party had picked up. The doors were open now, and on some beds there were people making out, and on some others people were in mal, their legs and arms all twitching and their heads rocking back and forth, and someone was puking in a roll-top desk and trying to roll the top down to hide it. Someone's arm was coming out from under a bed, moving like they were conducting a symphony orchestra. Violet walked closer to me, and I put my arm around her, but her shoulders weren't soft, like she didn't want to be touched. And we got to the landing and heard some kind of smacking down below and people cheering. When we went downstairs, they were all playing spin the bottle like little kids, stretched out on the floor, swinging their legs. Violet's back was kind of sagging as she walked down the stairs in front of me. I was feeling kind of strange, like, I can't really explain it, like as if hypodermics were in the air again, but thrown all ways and still traveling. Link said, "Hey, take yourselves a seat and play. It's fun."
"It's for kids," said Loga, "but it's kind of sexy."
Callista was like, "Oh my God, it's so uncomfortable sitting on the floor with my lesion. This is so wholly stupid."
Quendi said, "I've only spun once, but I think I did kind of good."
She shifted on the floor. Marty's eyes were like Meg riveted on her ass and also on her shoulder blades, where you could see all the red fibers through the splits in her skin. They were shifting as she and this meathead named Chez something kissed for a turn. Violet and I sat down. I didn't need to chatter to tell she didn't want to play. We weren't next, which was good, but I really didn't want her to get spun to because I thought she might get really pissed by the stupidity of the whole game. I was sitting cross-legged, and I put my fist in my cheek and just sat there, telling the bottle with my eyes to keep on going while it spun. Quendi spun and got Link, and I was like, oh, shit, bad news. She was really glad. She went over to him while everyone did this big whoop, and he started to kiss her on the cheek, really just friendly, but she put her palm against his cheek and turned his head so she was kissing him on the mouth, and then put her arms around him. Everyone was completely silent, like, oh, my God, and they kept on kissing, with Link kind of trying to pull back but being afraid to push too hard with her cuts everywhere, and Callista staring at them both with his big hair hatred in her eyes. Link, like, tripped and stumbled backward and sat back down next to Callista. Everyone was really uncomfortable, except Marty.
"Hey,"
chatted Marty to the guys,
"don't you think Quendi looks good?"
Link was like,
"Just shut up and play."
I was like,
"I think it looks stupid." "It's a good look,"
Marty chatted,
"and kind of fun."
I was disgusted, like,
"Huh? You can see her, like, muscles and tendons and ligaments and stuff through the lesions." "Yeah," said Marty, "which makes you kind of think about what's inside, huh? Which is sexy."
"You must be chatting about how Quendi looks really sexy," said Callista.
It was like she was going to start something mean.
"Yeah," said Marty. "We were just saying that the lesions look good." "Oh," said Quendi. "You like the lesions?"
Link said, "Can we just play?"
"Well, I think they're a lot of fun," Callista said, as if she didn't mean it but meant the opposite.
Link spun again, and while he kissed this other girl, really hardly at all, Callista was still talking to Quendi, saying in this really mean voice,
"And don't let anyone tell you you look stupid."
"Nothing stupid," said Marty.
"That's right, Quendi," said Callista, "because seeing what's inside of you, all your guts, is just so sexy."
"Callista," said Quendi, trying to stop her,
"we're just having fun." "That's good," said Callista.
The guy Chez something spun and got Loga. He walked over to her and said,
"Time to play."
"Quendi, you know what's fun about your lesions?"
Loga and the Chez guy started kissing hard. They were playing up their kiss, maybe to, like, take attention away from the meanness Callista was having. Loga's hands were in Chez's hair, smearing through the hair, her fingers wet with gel. Callista said, "About your lesions, what's fun is watching a girl who's so desperate for someone's boyfriend that she does something to herself which is really stupid." There was a quiet part. And then Marty said, "Okay, just let's, okay, let's fucking just let's play." He spun the bottle and it turned, with the neck flashing, and suddenly I could hear Quendi crying, and then I saw the bottle land on Violet. Marty got up and straightened his pants and walked over. "Hey there, sexy," he said. "Let's make this good." He reached out his hand toward her. She flinched backward. He put his hand on top of her head. I said, "This isn't much fun." "We'll show you fun," said Marty, winking.
"Stop it," said Violet, standing up. "Stop it all."
"What's wrong?" said Marty. He held out his hand toward her wrist. He took her wrist in his hand. Violet was completely white. She was shaking. Her head, I mean, it was bobbing. She suddenly was yelling.
"Can I tell you what I see? Can I tell you? We are hovering in the air while people are starving. This is obvious. Obvious. We're playing games and our skin is falling off. We're losing it and we're making out. And you're talking. You're starting to talk in a fucking sestina. Okay? A sestina. Okay? Stop it. Fuck you. We've got to all stop it."
She was screaming. People were staring and chatting, and they weren't chatting with me, except Link, who gave me a single,
"What's doing with this? Fix it,"
before cutting me off. Violet was screaming,
"Look at us! You don't have to feed! You are feed! You're feed! You're being eaten! You're raised for food! Look at what you've made yourselves!" She pointed at Quendi and went, "She's a monster! A monster! Covered with cuts! She's a creature!"
And now I was going, "Violet, don't! Violet, she's not a goddamn monster, she's..." But Violet screeched,
"You too! Fuck you too!"
And she tried to slap me. I grabbed her by the arm, and she tried to scratch at my face, but her hand wasn't working. She had broken somehow, and she was broken, and, oh, fuck, she was sagging, and I grabbed her to help her, and she was shaking, and her eyes were all white and rolling around, and she couldn't talk anymore. She was choking. I grabbed her and tried to wrap my arms around her. There was a long line of spit coming out of her mouth. Her legs were pumping up and down. She was broken. She was completely broken. I was crying and saying to call an ambulance, and people were like, "Fuck no, she's in Mal. If she's in Mal, no way, we'll get in trouble." And I was like, "Call a fucking ambulance." And I tried to do it on my feet, but things were too screwed up, and I could feel the signals going out. And she was breathing again, but she'd gone limp, and I lowered her to the ground, and I put her there. And Quendi was still yelling, "Fuck you!" at her body. "Fuck you!" And Violet was breathing now in heavy, big gasps. But her eyes were closed, and I was leaning next to her asleep body and squeezing and squeezing and squeezing. I don't know what the others did. There were noises and women came. I went with them, and the feed whispered to me about sales and made me all these suggestions about medical lawyers and malpractice. And something happened, and I was sitting beside her in an ambulance, and suddenly I realized the party is over. The fucking party is over.
Part 4. Slumberland. 52.9%. The waiting room was white. There were these orbs moving back and forth filled with fluids. They went up and down the halls.
"There will be some delays," said one of the nurses.
She touched her face with her hand. Her pinky was sticking out. She pressed on her cheek like she had a toothache. She said,
"Expect a delay."
"Let me tell you a little story," said a woman on a chair next to me.
"He's distressed," said the nurse.
She fixed her hair, which was this hair held together with two magic wands.
"Breathe deep," the nurse told me. "She's pretty functional."
"What?" I said. "What do you mean?"
"The doctor will talk to you."
"There was this one time," said the woman on the chair.
"When is the doctor coming?" I asked.
"He's here."
"Where?"
"In the room with her."
"But when's he like coming out?"
She sighed. "You might want to rest your eyes."
I paced on the floor. The feed was handing me things. I listened to it, and I paced around, following the pattern of the tiles on the floor.
The poor sales of the Ford Laputa in the Latin American market can't be explained by...
Craziest primetime comedy yet. What happens when two normal guys and two normal girls meet in their favorite health food restaurant? Lots of abnormal laughs. Served with sprouts on the side is what.
I paced there. I went around all the chairs. I did them slalom. Men locked into giant wheels with their arms and legs spread out were being wheeled past down the hall. People in smocks hit them on the rim to keep them rolling. The wheels rolled by. The people in smocks were whistling. The men in the wheels stared out, their mouths open, their eyes looking at everything flashing by, but the men were not moving at all. Just looking at the world, helpless, in circles, the world going by. 87.3%. Violet's father got there half an hour after I did. I saw him running past me. I didn't wave or anything because I didn't want to get in the way or be a pain in the butt. People, sometimes they need to be alone. He went past me and didn't see who I was. That was okay with me. They took him into the room. I waited. I clapped my hands together softly a bunch of times. I swung my arms at my sides and then clapped. I realized that they were swinging really wide. People were looking up at me. I stopped. I couldn't help a small clap, one last one. He came out. He was walking real slow. He sat down. I didn't know whether to talk to him. He was smoothing out the knees of his tribe suit. I went over. I said hello and introduced myself again. He said, "Oh, yes, hello. Thank you for..." He was just, like, nodding. "Is she okay?" I asked. "Yes," he said. "Yes, okay. Yes, she's okay." He didn't seem much like before. I was like, "What's happening?" "They're fixing the malfunction for the time being. The doctor's coming out." His eyes were orange with the light from his feed glasses. The orbs went past. We waited. Two nurses were talking about the weekend. There was nothing I wanted to watch on the feed. It made me feel tired. "Can you stop?" said her father to me. I realized I'd like been clapping again. "I hate rhythms," he said. I put my hands down. I stood still in front of him. He said, "You can monitor her feed function." He sent me an address. "Go there," he said. "If things neural were going swimmingly with Vi, the number you detect would be about 98%. I went there. It was some kind of medical site. It said Violet Dern, feed efficiency, 87.3%. He stared at me. I stared at him. We were like, just there. The efficiency went up to 87.4%. He turned his head. Someone was whistling two notes in the hallway. Violet was not a bitch. She didn't mean those things. It was because of the damage. It was making her not herself. I told myself that again and again. But it didn't matter if she was right or wrong about what she said. It was the fact that she said it, especially to Quendi, calling her monster, screaming like one of those girls in black at school, the ones who sit on the floor in the basement and talked about the earth, the ones who got rivets through their eyes just to make people think they were hard. I wanted Violet to be uninsane again, just a person who would touch my face. "She's awake," said a nurse. "Please come in." She wanted him, not me. I just stood there. He turned around and went in. After a while, he came out and sat down again. The nurse said, "Now you?" I followed her in. Violet was sitting in a floating chair with lots of cables. Some of them went to her head. When I came in, she looked away from me. "I'm sorry," she said. We stood that way for a little while. She was dressed in just a gown again, like when we were getting to know each other back on the moon. She said, "I said I'm sorry." I didn't want to piss her off, so I figured what she wanted me to say, and I said, I'm worrying about you." She shrugged. I watched her. I didn't know how close she was to the person who had gone completely fugue at the party. I asked, "How did they say you are?" "Fine," she said, "for a little while." She held on to her kneecap. She moved it back and forth.
How long? I asked. She didn't answer. I said, you don't have to say. Not long. She looked up at me. She was almost crying. She was like,
I can't even say everything I need to say. Don't be. Don't. It's all gonna be good.
She rubbed her eye.
Why are you standing so far away?
I was like,
you're covered with cables.
She was like,
oh, yeah, yeah.
We were just standing there for a minute. Well, she was sitting, but I was standing. I looked up at her. She was moving her kneecap again. I patted myself on my hips. It was like tip, 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 tap. She went,
it's funny that you can move your kneecap all around with your fingers, but you couldn't move it with your muscles if you tried.
One of the orbs came in and started to circle around her. I said I had to go. She said she'd see me later. I said my up car was back at Lynx. I'd forgot. She said I should go and get it. I said I hoped she was okay. She said she was pretty okay. She chatted me later. Was that okay? Could she chat me? I was like,
oh, sure. Sure. No, really? Sure. Yeah. On the chat.
I nodded. Finally, I waved, kind of pathetic, and I went out. The orb was in front of her face. I couldn't see what she looked like. I went out into the hall. Later, my mom came and picked me up, and we went and got my up car. The others weren't there at Link's house anymore. Link was in the back by his pool. He waved and yelled over to me, "She okay?" I chatted him, yes, and he chatted me that was good, and I got in my up car and flew home behind my mom. We had bean cubes and fish sticks for dinner. I had a couple of helpings. There was still time to do my homework, but I watched the feed instead. Some cops found a bunch of rods in a warehouse and were trying to figure out what they were. Durgan, the star of the show, said they belonged to a pimp. His assistant had a run in her stockings. She bent down to fix it. Later, I went to bed. I couldn't get to sleep. My parents had turned off the sun hours before. The light outside the blinds was just gray. Finally, I guess I must have fell asleep. At least I dreamed, and there were beads of water going along some string, and Violet said, "How many do you need before you're done?" And I said, "These are yours, first." And she said, "How many do you need?" And I said, "You know. You completely know." And she said, "That's why I want to hear it from your mouth." 87.1%. The next day, I was at her house. It was all weird. We didn't talk. I don't know why. We didn't open our mouths. We just sat there silent, chatting.
It's not you,
I argued.
It's the feed thing. You're not like that. Maybe I am like that. Maybe that's what's wrong.
She rubbed her hands together.
I'm sorry. Please, tell Quendi I'm sorry.
Her father was walking down the stairs near us. We could hear him through the wall. She chatted.
I lost a year of my memories.
I didn't understand first.
What? I lost a year during the seizure. I can't remember anything from the year before I got the feed. When I was 6, the information is just gone. There's nothing there.
She was pressing her palms into her thighs as hard as she could. She watched herself real careful, like it was a crafts project. She went,
nothing. No smells, no talking, no pictures. For a whole year, all gone.
I just looked at her face. There were lines on it I hadn't seen before. She looked sick, like her mouth would taste like the hospital. She saw me looking at her. She was like,
don't worry, Titus. We're still together. No matter what, we'll still be together. Oh.
I went,
yeah.
She reached out and rubbed my hand.
I'll remember you. I'll hold on to you. Oh.
I chatted.
Okay.
She went,
God, there's so much I need to do. Oh my God. You can't even know. I want to go out right now and start. I want to dance. You know, that's this dumbass thing, because it's so cliche, but that's what I see myself doing. I want to dance with, like, a whole lacrosse team. Maybe with them holding me up on a Formica tabletop. I can't even tell you. I want to do the things that show you're alive. I want to eat huge meals with wine. I want to go to the zoo with you.
Zoos suck, I said. All the animals just sit there and play with their toes.
I want to go on rides. The flume, the teacups, the tilt-a-whirl. You know, a big bunch of us on the teacups, with you and me crushed together from the centrifugal force?
I wasn't really wanting to think about us crushed together right then, or about us in a big group, or she might go insane again, so I just looked like, yeah, the teacups. And she was still saying,
I want to see things grazing through field glasses. I want to go someplace now. I want to get the hell out of here and visit some Mayan temples. I want you to take my picture next to the sacrificial stone, you know? I want to run down to the beach. I mean, a beach where you can go in the water. I want to have a splashing fight.
I just sat there. Her father was working on something in the basement. It sounded like he had some power tools. Maybe he was drilling or, like, cutting or boring. She went,
They're all sitcom openers. What? Everything I think of when I think of really living, living to the full, all my ideas are just the opening credits of sitcoms. See what I mean? My idea of life, it's what happens when they're rolling the credits. My God, what am I without the feed? It's all from the feed credits. My idea of real life, you know? Oh, you and I share a snow cone at the park. Oh, funny, it's dribbling down your chin. I wipe it off with my elbow. Also starring Lerna Ginty as Violet. Oh, happy day. Now we go jump in the fountain. We come out of the tunnel of love. We run through the merry-go-round. You're checking the park with a metal detector. I'm checking the park with a Geiger counter. We wave to the camera.
Except the Mayan ruin.
What about it?
There aren't, I like pointed out, there aren't the sacrificial stones in sitcoms.
No,
she said.
That's right. Chalk one up for the home team.
We sat. She fixed her hair with her hand. I asked her,
What did it feel like at the party?
She waited. Then she admitted,
It felt good. Really good just to scream, finally. I felt like I was singing a hit single, but in hell.
87.1%. Later, before I left, I watched Violet and her father petition FeedTech for free repairs. Violet's dad couldn't pay for all the tests and shit himself. None of it was covered by medical because the feed wasn't medical. They sent a message to FeedTech explaining what happened. I sat there while they spoke it together. It was all about how she had lost her memory and how sometimes she couldn't move parts of her and about how she had gone completely fugue state. They asked FeedTech to take on payments for research and repairs. They said FeedTech had to because it was about the life of a girl. Her feed's warranty had expired years ago. We will present this petition to several corporate sponsors, said Violet's dad. If you do not acquiesce, others will. We will find someone who will support this repair. We will take our business elsewhere. Please, said Violet, we need your financial assistance. If you want us as customers, said her father. They sent the message. After that, we didn't say much. 86.5%. Quendi and I talked the next day. We were sitting on big cubes that were made of concrete. We sat side by side. I was like, she's really sorry. Quendi nodded. She still had the lesions all over her. When she moved her head, I could see a lesion on her neck open and close like a fish mouth singing a country song. Quendi said, I was like, I can't go out in public anymore. At first, I was so living eternally in a tool shed. But Logo was like really, really good. She was sitting with me that night. We went back and sat around at my house. She was like, da-da-da, she was completely a mal. Don't listen to her, da-da-da, she's a complete fuguing bitch. But she's not. I know, that was just what I needed to hear then. She feels real bad. I know, it wasn't her. I didn't say anything. I just nodded. Quendi brushed her hair back out of her face. I rubbed the corner of the concrete with my thumb. Quendi asked, She okay? I shook my head. She's scared. They say that the feed isn't working well with her brain anymore.
Oh my God.
She looked at me.
What does that mean?
I don't know. The whole brain is tied into the feed. The whole brain, like the memory, and the part that makes you move, and the part for your emotions.
The limbic system?
I don't know.
I just looked it up.
Okay.
There's a diagram. She sent me the site. Okay. I sat there.
Maybe you should check it out,
she said, a little angry.
It'll help you understand what's happening to her.
I pulled up my leg and untied and tied my shoe.
Don't you want to know?
I said, I guess not.
You know, said Quendi, this isn't the world serving you some Meg three-course dump banquet. It isn't the world serving me some dump banquet. She's the one who this is happening to. I don't know what you're saying to her, but I hope you aren't sulking weirdly.
She looked over at me. I just sat there. She added,
making her feel low grade.
She put her hand on my leg.
Hey,
she said.
Hey.
Through the holes in her hand, the blood in her veins was blue. 52%. When I woke up the next morning, there was a message from Violet waiting in my cache.
It's 3:15 in the morning, she said. I haven't heard anything from FeedTech. I'm lying here. You're probably sound asleep right now. I like to picture you asleep. You have beautiful lips. My mom never had the feed. She didn't get it installed when she was little. Her parents said they were going to wait until she was old enough to understand and make her own decision about it, like Catholic confirmation. She decided not to have the feed installed. She called it the brain mole. My father's family didn't have the money to buy feeds for my dad and my uncle. The feeds were newer then, and they were more expensive. They were advertised with these silver see-through heads with a chip inside them. The heads would be spinning around at the mall with the mouths of the heads calling your name. My mom and dad both went through college without the feed. I guess it was really hard. They couldn't remember things the way everyone else could, or see the models that were in the air, you know, of chromosomes or stamens. But they both went on to grad school. That's where they met. I always thought it was strange that they decided to have a kid at a conceptionarium. I guess they really wanted to have me freestyle. They talked about it a lot. Well, I mean, they'd only been going out for a few months, but, you know, a lot for that. Anyway, the ambient radiation was already too bad by then for freestyle, so they went test tube. I think my first memory of my mom is her carrying me on her shoulders through the mall. She would constantly be whispering jokes to me, little jokes between the two of us. She especially made fun of plastic. She'd say, "They're all wearing oil, all their clothes. They don't have anything on but oil." And I would whisper back to her, "They're wearing dinosaurs, dead dinosaurs, drippy all over them." She would whisper, "Trilobites." I would whisper, "Old plants." She would whisper, "It's the height of fashion." And I would say, "Mrs., Mrs. Lady, those are some nice old plankton." For an hour and a half today, I couldn't move my leg. My toes were clenched. My knee was all locked up. I didn't chat you. I didn't want to worry you. You don't talk much now. I went to a technician. By the time I waited, the leg started to work again. My dad was there with me. He's not doing very well. I can't feel anything wrong with the leg now. I'm lying here in bed, lifting it up and down. It seems fine, except it's kind of cramped from the clenching. I'm looking up at my leg. I'm moving my toes, squelching them. That's a great feeling, squelching, like in mud. Do you know, mud? When it's in your yard, and you know the day's going to get hot again when the rain's over, because that's what the neighborhood association has decided, so you can just stand there and wait for the sun. And it's your one time on Earth, I mean, your 100 years, that's all you have. So there you are on Earth, a little kid, the one time you'll be a little kid, and you're standing waiting for the artificial sun and feeling the mud, and at that point, your toes still work perfectly. So you stand there and you squelch your toes and you raise your arms up above your head and you watch the clouds get sucked back into the ducts in the sky. And that's it. That's an afternoon. That's all. I hope you're okay this morning, too.
82.4%. I didn't listen to all of it immediately. I was lying there in bed. I saw that it was going to be long, and I stopped after a few sentences. There was a smell like the hospital. It was like sickness. At first I thought it was an attachment, but it wasn't. It was coming from my nose. I got up and took my shower, and I got dressed and went downstairs and had one of my dad's granola squeezes and went out to my up car and started to drive to School Inc.
I listened to the rest while the up car drove me. When the up car settled in the School Inc. parking lot, I kept staring out the front window. I didn't want to get out. Kids were running everywhere and pushing each other. Their backpacks were all sparkly in the sun. I could still smell the hospital in my nose. It wasn't anything around me. It was her. I stopped breathing, but the smell was still there. I held my breath. I stared out the window at the School Inc. Everyone went in through the doors. The leaves on the trees turned red to show I was late. My hand was still on the lift shift. I just left it there, in some weird kind of trance, as if I was waiting there for the right moment to pull back, drop anchor, and fall upward into the sky. 80.9%.
Definitive list of things I want to do. 1. Dancing. 2. Fly over an active volcano, spit stuff into magma. 3. Could the dancing be in a nightclub with lots of mirrors? And people wear tuxedos, and there's a big band, and perhaps some mob activity? And you'll keep staring at a cigarette girl named Belinda from Oklahoma, and I'll say, "Damn you, man, damn you, can't you keep your eyes in your sockets like everyone else?" 4. I want to sit with you in a place where I can't hear engines. 5. Is there any moss anywhere? 6. I want to go under the sea and watch the last fishes. I want to sit in one of those bubbles in the middle of a school. 7. I want to see art. Like, I want to remind myself about the Dutch. I want to remind myself that they wore clothes and armor, that some of them fell in love while they were sitting near maps or tapestries. 8. I want to go up into the mountains with you for a weekend, where people don't usually go. 9. When we're there, I want to go to a store that sells only beer and jerky. 10. I want to rent a hotel room with you, as Mr. and Mrs. Smith. 11. I want to say we're from Fort Wayne, and have the proprietor frown and know we're lying, but still nod. 12. I would like to actually be from Fort Wayne, or from a small town outside of it. We won't have the feed, and we'll go to movies on dates. We'll kiss in the up car, and then when I'm in my 20s, I'll go east to the big city to find my first job and have people at parties sitting on the arms of chairs, drinking wine out of plastic cups, people with strange haircuts, things sheared into geometrical shapes. 13. And I want to go into the office every day, sometimes even on weekends, in some kind of suit, and be someone's administrative assistant, and complain to you through the feed while I'm at my desk about my bitch of a manager or my pervert boss. You'll be my boyfriend from home. You're also from Fort Wayne. 14. I want to get older. 15. I want to see the years pass. 16. Sometime, I want to wear a cardigan and have a golden retriever named, I don't know, I guess named after someone obscure. Usually isn't that how it goes for people like me? Their cats are named like Tutankhamun or Mithridates. Their dogs are named for great thinkers like Jefferson or Socrates or Thomas Paine. I guess I'll call mine Paine. 17. I want famous artists and composers to come and stay at my house. You know, someone named Gerblich who's writing a piece where you take an axe to the piano. 18. My grandkids will come up to see me when I'm in my cardigan. I want them to call me Nana. We'll sit by the lake, which won't steam like lakes do and won't move when the wind isn't on it or burn sticks. I'll tell them about their great-grandparents and show them old pictures on the family site. I'll tell them how their great-great-great-grandfather fled Germany just before the Second World War. He was a homosexual and had to wear a pink triangle on his arm. He got to America and married a pretty Marxist candy striper to get citizenship, and eventually they decided to have kids. My grandkids will ask me what a candy striper is. 19. When we make dinner, little Shirley will help me shuck the corn. 20. I want to tell her about what her mama used to do when she was just hatched, the silly things mama did when she was a child. 21. I'll lean on the sink, and I won't remember the hours spent in waiting rooms, the doctors touching me with metal rods, pushing me back onto gurneys, the technicians having secret conferences with my father.
I won't remember what it is like to stare at my leg and press it with my fingernails until the skin turns white, and then red, and then blue, and still not have any feeling. I won't remember what's really going to happen, that nerve silence spreading over the whole of my body, like a purple cloud, that emptiness, that inactivity. I won't remember watching you stand by my bed when I can't move, watching you staring down. I won't remember you apologizing for not coming sooner. I won't remember you standing there, bored by my bedside as I slur words, standing there waiting to feel like you've stayed long enough so that you're a good person and you're allowed to leave. I won't remember any of that because it won't happen. I'll lean on the sink and my granddaughter will cut paper molecules with her scissors for a project for school. 22. I'll go out and call for the dog because it's getting to be evening and there are coyotes out there in the woods. The night will be falling. By the screen door I'll call, Pain! And the trees will rustle. Pain! Pain! And he'll come when I call.